So does everyone have a palm branch? Some more substantial than others. So on the Sunday before the first Easter, there was an event. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, and the crowds were adoring. And they cried out. And they had a number of things to say, and we'll look at what was said on that Palm Sunday. But our title today, We Cried Out, comes with a question. And that question is, but what are we saying? So when we cry out, what do we say? Well, this morning, our music worship team led us in our music worship. And the first thing as God was listening to us, the first thing that he heard was that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. In our second song, he heard that we want to worship his holy name. And in the third song, we heard hallelujah. I wonder exactly what God was hearing on that first Palm Sunday. What did Jesus hear? Well, he heard the words. Hosanna. Save us. And in asking someone to save, there's an expression, you can. You have the power. You have the authority to do that. What do you think Jesus heard? Save us. Save us from what? And I suspect that the vast majority of those people crying out to be saved were hoping to be saved from Roman rule. This once proud kingdom of Israel had been reduced to a subjugated province of a faraway ruler. And many in that crowd wanted Jesus to save them from their oppressors, to give them success as a country. And so when Jesus heard, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel, I think he understood that most people were looking for him to be a worldly ruler, to overthrow the Roman oppressors. And God as king has a very interesting history. If we look back in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to there. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we have a little bit of the story of how Israel came to have a king. And interestingly, we happened to read this Friday in the Aline Fellowship as well. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. This is God speaking to Samuel, because the people had come to Samuel and said, we want a king. And so here is God's disposition towards that. But when they said, give us a king. I'm sorry. I'm going to read the passage. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, This displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." So all those many years before, Israel had said they wanted a king. And what God heard, as he can see beyond the words into the hearts of men, was they really didn't want to be that close to God. They wanted some human figure to take, unfortunately, that role of closeness, you might say. And what is it that the people wanted? Well, we can find in their own words, if we skip down, still in chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, down to verse 19, verses 19 and 20. "But the people refused to listen to Samuel. 'No,' they said, 'we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles.'" So these were folks who wanted a king to go out and do something for them, improve the sociological environment in which they lived. Not someone who wanted someone to come and change their hearts and make them better people. There's a word you hear a lot these days. And the word is theocracy. And in common everyday usage, this means government by religious leaders ruling in the name of God. Now, I actually learned that word differently. I was actually pretty young. I can still remember when my mom taught me what this word means. And of course, the literal meaning of the word theocracy is rule by God. But in our modern common thinking, we dismiss that as a possibility altogether. And we imagine that ruling is something that's done by people under some kind of human arrangements. And so, as you talk to people about theocracy today, they will understand that to be government by people ruling in the name of God. And perhaps that's the transition that was made in Samuel from the judges to the kings. The judges were men that God raised up to rule when it was needful. The kings, also appointed and anointed by God, but were always there to rule, and unfortunately subject to the corruption of sin to which all of us and all government is subject. So it seemed that those standing there with palm branches on that Palm Sunday, throwing them before Jesus, we're looking for a theocracy. But they really weren't looking for God to come into their lives. They were looking for God to do something really good for them and throw off their oppressors. Their thinking was shaped by their wants and having their hearts be compatible with God's was far from their thinking. There's some similar thought that goes into the notion of our common thinking about, I'm going to use the word religion today. So I'm sure many of you have encountered people who say, oh, religion is a terrible thing. Think of all the wars and killing and death that is wrought upon the earth. With the implication that everything evil that has happened in history stems from religion. And one thing we do have to keep in mind, there has been much evil done in the name of Christ over the centuries. Christians, and I truly mean, I believe, Christians who have done horrible things, thinking they were serving God. And that should not be denied. It should not be ignored. But at the same time, we have to have sober judgment about history. And so, I guess the first question we should answer is, do we know of some place, some time and place in history which was free of religion and therefore there was no evil? I think we'd be hard-pressed to find such a period in history. Not because there weren't periods that essentially lacked religion or religious influence, but because wherever you find human beings, you find evil. And I think perhaps the more pertinent question along these lines is, who really believes that without religion, all of these wars would have been avoided? All these people who perhaps, in some cases, fought over what appeared to be religious doctrine. Perhaps they had motivations within that were dark motivations that had little to do with religious doctrine and much more to do with the evil that we have within our hearts. After all, Jesus himself was crucified for religious reasons on the surface. So, what are we to make of all the words that are being said? Well, if you'll turn with me to our scripture reading today in Luke 19. This, by the way, is immediately after the triumphant entry. Luke 19:41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, and he wept over it. He had just entered, and people had yelled, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus heard those words. But he also heard through those words to people's hearts. And he wept. And he said about Israel, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. Because in just a few days, we hear from the leaders, the Jewish theocracy, you might say, words in John 19:12, "Crucify, crucify," when Jesus was presented to them. Now the irony is that as the words, "crucify, crucify," were shouted, Jesus was in fact fulfilling the earlier words of "save us, save us." And in his acts that we'll be remembering in Good Friday and in Easter, we receive that salvation that was called for as he entered into Jerusalem. Even as some of those who had called for that salvation were shouting to crucify him. Jesus answered the plea and always had determined to answer that plea despite what is in our hearts. So this Palm Sunday, let us pick up our palm branches. Can I get everyone to pick up your palm branch? Let us cry out, Hosanna. Hosanna. But most importantly, let us open our hearts and receive inwardly that salvation that Jesus invites us to. And let's invite Jesus to indeed be our King and our Lord. You pray with me. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Heavenly Father, we need your salvation. We need your Son. We need him in our lives. We need your guidance. We need your leading. We need your Spirit to fill us with your love and give us the strength and power to be your people on the earth. Father, help us not be fickle or selfish or irresolute. Help us to be your people through your power. And may it be to your glory. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.